Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by his Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, consider with me for a second the importance of the number three. Very good. You knew it. Very good. The number three, very important number. How it is that we on earth as God's creatures perceive reality, right? Think of space, for example. We only know of one way to interpret space, and that's in three ways, which is how? By height, by breadth, and length. 3D, that's our world. We live in a 3D world, right? Three dimensions. Or how about time? There's only one way to understand time, and that's in three ways. There's either time past, time present, or time future. There's the before, there's the at, and the after. There's no other way to think of it, only in those terms. There's not a fourth way. There's not just two ways. There's three ways. Or how about memory? How many things in the world are easy to remember because they're in threes? If you're on fire, what do you do? Stop, drop, and roll. If you know CPR, you always check your ABCs, which are airway, breathing, and circulation, right? It's good for the memory. When you think of the Bible, you think of the Bible. How many times three is used in the Bible? Not just in the New Testament with the Trinity, but in the Old Testament, preparing us for the revealing of the Trinity. Especially today, we heard from Isaiah chapter 6, didn't we? Right there, a perfect example, Isaiah being called into the service of the Lord. What does he say when he sees the Lord? Not just he, actually, but actually the angels that were there. They confess. What do they say? Do they say, holy, and that's it? No. Do they say, holy moly? No. They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Sabaoth. Three, the thrice holy one. Three, why is that? Noah's sons in the Old Testament. How many Old Testament sons does Noah have? Three, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. How about who visited Abraham? Three angels. How many commandments? There's 10, of course, but how many commandments have to do with our relationship with God? Three. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Those three commandments, our relationship with God. The Aaronic benediction at the end of every worship service, you hear these words, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Three lords. One lord, but three lords in the blessing. There's an office in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfills, right? Three offices, in fact. What are they? Prophet, priest, and king. We heard it in the Old Testament. I saw the king. That's Jesus. That's the Lord. That's God. Jesus rose in the New Testament on which day of the week? The third day. He rose again on the third day. There are three things that testify to who Jesus is. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Not the Spirit and the water only, but the Spirit, the water, and the blood, says in 1 John. Why is this? Why is it that God has revealed these things like this? Can anyone give me an answer? Well, that's complicated, Pastor. No, I'll tell you why it is. Because this is the God who is. And this is how he revealed himself to you to know who God is. Three persons, one God. Three persons, one God. How do we know it's just one God? Because the Old Testament, very clear too. The Shema, that's the old creed of the Old Testament people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The little children had to memorize this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. One God. And yet, at the very beginning, when he created man, what did he say? Let us create man in our own image. In the image of God, he created him, them, male and female, he created them. Us. Even references in the Old Testament to the threeness of God and the oneness of God. That's why we worship the Trinity, do we not? So the importance of three. In our text today, we not only hear the importance of three, and I'll share with you that in just a minute, but to get to that, there's something that we hear in the text, and I'll call it this. So we've heard about the importance of three. we also hear about the contrast of we. The contrast of we. What do I mean by that? Well, there's a ruler here, Nicodemus, and he uses the word we in the text in verse 2. If you have your text, you may want to look at this, verse 2. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Right? Remember hearing that? We, who's this we? He came by himself, alone, at night. It's the first Nick at night, by the way. He comes to Jesus, right? He comes to Jesus by night, and he's got that we there. What is he talking about? Well, we, he's representing all the Jewish community, the Pharisees. He's a teacher of Israel. We know, right? We. Interesting. And you also hear a little air there, don't you? I often think that Jesus may have just shook his head at this question. Probably listened to it very carefully and then maybe just shook his head when he answered, because he says, because no one can do these things that you can do unless God is with him. With him. A little with air, if you will. You take out the with, then what? Unless God, him. God is him. I think that'd be more accurate, wouldn't he? Jesus may have just shook his head at that answer and said, truly, truly, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. No one, what does it say? Let's get it right. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Maybe he was listening to that question and hearing the with and going, with? Unless you're born again, you just cannot see the kingdom of God. Man's wisdom is going to fail, but God's wisdom is going to prevail. The only way you can know God's wisdom is to be born again, to have a new mind, to see things as they truly are, not as we see them according to our old nature, confined to this world and our ways. To see things as God's perception, God's ways. Now let's contrast that we with Jesus' we. John chapter 3, verse 11. Look at this. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. Did you count how many we's he used? Three we. Three we. Nicodemus, one we. Jesus, three we. Isn't that marvelous? The contrast of the we's. Even a little bare witness there of the Trinity that dwells in Christ Jesus. He is one with the Trinity, the we. And it's bare witnessing of our testimony, he says. He's not talking about his and the disciples. He's talking about heavenly things. The nature of the Almighty God who dwells in and with Christ Jesus is that very God. Christ is the Trinity. He is one with the Father, one with the Spirit. Wow. The contrast of the we of Nicodemus to the we of Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, what a difference a little with makes, doesn't it? God is with him? No. God is him. And then the next question, it rhymes also with the importance of three and the contrast of we. Nicodemus asks a question in the text. He says, how can these things be? How can these things be? Good question. That's a real question of faith. How can these things be? How can the Trinity be? How can the Trinity be three in one? I don't get it. I don't understand. It's too complicated. It's too hard. According to our old nature, that may be true. But Jesus answers, here's how you be. This is how you be. First, you must be born again. You must be baptized. By the Spirit and the water, you begin to understand the ways and the things of God. That's what he means. How can you be born again if you're old? Well, you're still using the old wisdom of man. He's not talking about entering into a womb another time. That would be ridiculous, absurd, right? But to be baptized into the womb of the mother who is your God, the church, so to speak, that kind of born again is certainly possible. In fact, we all must be born again to see the kingdom of God. We all must be baptized. It's essential. It's necessary because God gave this gift to the church as the way in which we see reality as it truly is. And we hear that name in baptism given to us the first time when it's put upon our foreheads and upon our hearts and the waters poured over our heads three times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus taught us to do in Matthew 28. The whole revelation of the Trinity is given there in baptism. And the other way, how can these things be, is to believe. Then you'll understand. Believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe. If you don't believe me, Jesus says, believe my works. Believe in the resurrection of the dead when he rises again, when he dies on the cross, rises again. Who can do such things? Now can you believe? Have faith. God wants you not to believe by sight, but by faith, by hearing, by believing, by seeing all these things that are in Christ Jesus, and you will see. You will understand. You will be my disciples. You will be of God. That's how these things can be. And he goes on to tell him, it's very important for this all to take place. This is how it all can be, through baptism, through believing. And then he says, if I have told you earthly things, this is verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. I marvel at these words, because Jesus is speaking them now in his ministry. Think about when he's saying this. Has he ascended up into heaven yet? No. He's talking about that which is to come, that which we know that we already celebrated just a couple weeks. Well, the ascension was when? About two Sundays ago we celebrated the ascension. And that hadn't happened yet when he spoke these words in John chapter 3. No one ascended up into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. He's bearing witness about himself. He has the divine perspective to see time, past, present, and in future, all wrapped up in the one man. In the way he speaks and teaches, he is the God of time, the God that sees things as they truly are, that which is to come, and that which has already been, and that which is now. That's how God, in Christ Jesus, can speak and teach these things. And then, of course, you remember back this spring, we had a sermon about John 3:15. Do you still remember John 3:15? Did you memorize that? I said, if you know John 3:16, you really ought to know John 3:15, right? Because John 3:15 tells us more about the Old Testament a bit. Remember, just as, so also, so that. Do you remember that sermon? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's a little bit better in some ways than John 3:16 because it tells us about the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Moses, now Jesus, the Son of Man being lifted up so that whoever believes, when you look upon the cross, you believe that Jesus is the Christ because God said so from the beginning, revealed it in the Old Testament, and now is fulfilling it in his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, what's our response here on Holy Trinity Sunday to all these things? Having pondered the importance of three, having contrasted the we, and having answered the question, how can these things be? It is our duty today and our privilege to bless and confess the Holy Trinity. We bless him by praising his name and remembering our baptism, receiving the gifts again at his supper, at his table. That's how we bless his name, by obedience of faith, by coming to hearing his word and praising him, singing about the Trinity. We're blessing God's name. We're teaching and telling the world about God as he truly is. And we confess his name too. And today we use the words of the Athanasian Creed. A little explanation in the bulletin about this old creed from the 6th century. It talks about the unity of the persons of God. Great children's sermon to kind of teach us the very same thing. The equality of God, the equality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and the unity that is in the Trinity, and the Trinity and unity. We're going to confess that. We do this once a year on Holy Trinity Sunday. Today is that great day. Yay. It's a long creed, isn't it? A very long one, but it tells us the truth of the nature of God. We ought not skip over this, pass it by, but take it to heart. And we have a great duty and privilege to confess the name and the reality of our God, the Holy Trinity. Amen.